Good morning, everyone. My name is Emily Webb. I was born and raised in England, and I emigrated to Canada 8 years ago. I was invited to do this talk by a wonderful lady named Andrea, who organises the Conversation Has to Happen conference each year. Due to the craziness of 2020, we're here on the radio. I wanted to speak with you for a short time about a personal experience with not only depression, suicide awareness and mental health, but also hope for the future. I'm an outreach coordinator with the Mountain View Emergency Shelter Society here in Mountain View County, and I work with families who are experiencing family violence. Due to the increased isolation this year, we have seen an increase in families experiencing struggles, and we just want you to know that we're here to support you if and when you might be ready. Just some information here. Women who have experienced domestic violence or abuse are at a significantly higher risk of experiencing a range of mental health conditions. These include post-traumatic stress disorder or PTSD, depression, anxiety, substance abuse, and thoughts of suicide or suicide. Not only is domestic violence and abuse a risk factor for psychological disorders, but women who have pre-existing mental health issues are more likely to be targets for domestic abusers. And I say women here because there just aren't enough statistics that are documented for men, but it absolutely does happen for men too. So I don't want to exclude men from feeling that they're not included in that. But actually, on a personal note, mental health is something that I've personally lived with since childhood. My mom and my oldest sister struggled with mental health. It was a part of everyday life. However, it was not talked about. First time it became real for me was when I was around 7 years old. My oldest sister had been battling with mental health, and I was upstairs in our mum's home when I heard my sister crying. I walked into her bedroom to find the window wide open and my older sister crouching on the windowsill in her house coat. I begged her to come down and she asked me to leave her alone because she was planning to jump. She wanted to end it all and she was not in a very good place at all. So I ran over to her, I pulled the back of her house coat and I pulled her off the sill. She fell into my arms sobbing. She was only 11 years old. And I didn't understand why she was struggling so much, especially because she was so young. I was super scared for her. And I think that from that day on, our relationship changed. After that, I always felt in my mind that she was my little big sister. And I felt like I always needed to be with her to protect her. The biggest problem was that my mom was not in the best place herself mentally to deal with this on top of her own struggles. And our childhood was definitely shadowed by mental health. But then if we fast forward to my sister's adulthood, she turned 18. She met a man that was 12 years her senior and she fell in love with him. He had two children from a previous relationship and she fell pregnant and gave birth to my first nephew. They married and she was absolutely elated. What she didn't know at the time, though, was that this relationship was going to become one of domestic abuse. Her husband had his own struggles with alcohol use disorder and other mental health concerns, and her depression and anxiety battles were still in the background. So 2 years after their first son, my second nephew was born. But due to the controlling aspect in their relationship, our family missed out on, I would probably say, the first 4 years of the children's lives-ish, give or take. And from speaking with my sister for the entire 10-year marriage, she never felt like she could completely confide in our family, partly for fear of judgment, but also because she felt like she was betraying her husband if she spoke with her family about him. Fortunately, though, every now and again, in her most desperate moments, she'd reach out. I'd take my nephews to give her a break, or I would empty my pantry when they had no money to assist her and her boys. I never truly lost faith that one day her life would turn around. Sometimes I was anxious that, you know, maybe she would continue in this cycle, and that, you know, I really wanted it to be better for her. And whether that was with him and he got support, or whether that was without him, whatever that looked like, I really wanted that for her and the kids. One day, though, she contacted me to say that she'd received a call from family services, and they had told her that they were going to apprehend her kids if she went back to her husband another time, just due to the amount of abuse in the relationship. But she does recall that that was the wake up that she needed. She didn't realise it at the time, and she did hit rock bottom. But despite being at her lowest point, she maintained her courage and she left. I was so proud to see her climb out of the darkness that she was in, because she was in darkness for sure. She became a single mom, and she still had these mental health concerns in the background, but she survived. And she didn't actually just survive, she found hope. She found hope in the church. And she has a phenomenal singing voice. And with that and her love of God, she became a part of the praise and worship team at the church. And a year and a half ago, she remarried. She has another baby on the way. Her two young boys are now teenagers. And she loves her church. She has the healthiest mind that I think I've ever seen her have. And I am super proud of her every single day. I have to say, though, I'm not ashamed to be honest about myself and say that I've also battled with mental health. In particular, there were two distinct periods. The first was as a teenager, and another was following a life-changing death. I did feel like a burden if I reached out to family members or friends. But, you know, in hindsight, I realised that they just really wanted to be there for me. And I was partly stubborn and partly felt like I didn't want to trouble them with my problems. You know, people do want to be there to offer a listening ear or a hug. And ultimately, it doesn't matter where you find your hope. But if you are concerned about your mental health or someone else's that you know, my wish is that you do find that hope. My sister actually became a huge inspiration for me. She's a survivor of family violence, and I feel privileged to be able to work with families in our community in this field. I can assure you that with support and our community, there is absolutely light at the end of the tunnel. I also know that the most courageous part is reaching out for it. But I want to let you know that my door is open. If you need to talk with someone about family violence or reach out for supports for mental health, then please do not hesitate to get in contact. It is absolutely a scary place to be when you are afraid of your own mind. And pain is real, but so is hope. That's kind of the basics of my personal story. I can't stress enough how much support there is out there for people who need it. And again, I know that it is in those moments when you don't feel like there is support or you don't know how to reach out for it. But please do knock on my door. please do knock on the door of other people in the community that are offering their support. Please reach out, especially in this time where the world is super crazy and bizarre. On that note, I just want to thank you for listening to me today. Thank you for your time. And I'm sending a big hug to you. And I'll pretend that I have my mask on. Thank you very much.